government of India has objected to remarks by a U.S. State Department spokesperson on Delhi Chief Minister Arvind Kejriwal's arrest last week in connection with the alleged liquor policy scam. The External Affairs Ministry today summoned the U.S. Deputy Chief of Mission and warned of unhealthy precedents and against unwarranted aspersions. The ministry issued a statement later stressing that India's legal processes are based on independent judiciary, which is committed to objective and timely outcomes. The U.S. State Department had said it is monitoring reports of Arvind Kejriwal's arrest and has encouraged its Indian counterpart to ensure a fair, transparent and timely legal process for the jailed Delhi chief minister. The United States' response comes days after Germany's foreign office stressed that Aam Aadmi Party leader, like any other Indian citizen facing charges, is entitled to a fair and impartial trial. That time, too, the Indian government had called it a blatant interference in internal matters.
India has strongly objected to what was said by the State Department spokesperson, and India has clearly said that this is not acceptable. They said that the U.S. State Department has made certain comments about legal proceedings in India. They have not named Kejriwal, but they said that it is a legal proceeding and in a diplomacy that the states should refrain from doing this. They have said they should be respectful of the sovereignty of another state, internal affairs of another state. Now, this is something which is which has come after one more comment which was made by the spokesperson of German Foreign Ministry. That time as well, the envoy here, the diplomat here, was summoned to the Foreign Ministry here, External Affairs Ministry here. Now with 40 minutes meeting between US DCM, the Deputy Chief of Mission here, and the officials in South Block, it is quite clear that India is not ready to hear this kind of comments again and again. So this is a message not only to the U.S., for which it is the second time that this kind of thing has happened, because earlier there was a comment about CAA when India had reacted very strongly to it, saying that people who do not know about the culture and history of India shouldn't be talking about it. So this time the envoy was, U.S. envoy was, the diplomat was summoned, a 40-minute meeting took place, and after that this statement has come out where India has also said that in India legal proceedings are free, fair and independent and committed to objective and timely outcomes, and casting aspersions on that is unwarranted. Now that is a message to other countries as well, that this kind of meddling or this kind of comments on internal affairs of India would not be welcome at all, and this is this objection has made it very clear for everyone else.
And in fact, NDTV also wrote to U.S. Embassy to try and get their response. What they told us was that they cannot discuss private diplomatic conversations. And they went on to say that State Department has said, we encourage a fair, transparent and timely legal process for the chief minister. Joining me on the show, Ashok Sajjanhar, former diplomat. Dr. Tara Kartha is a former director of National Security Council Secretariat. Michael Kugelman joining me from Washington, D.C. He is the director at South Asia Institute, the Wilson Center. Michael, beginning with you, why is the U.S. actually making statements which certainly appear to be unwarranted?
Well, it's a fair question. I mean, this is a part of U.S. foreign policy, particularly with the current administration, which has embraced what it describes as a values-based foreign policy, which means it's going to do what it can to advance democracy and rights and so on, though it's very selective about how it applies that that policy. I think that this is a comment that ideally would not have been made by the U.S. government, but you know, let's be very clear. This is a fairly mild comment. This was a comment made by a U.S. State Department spokesperson. I think it's a reminder, though, that the U.S.-India relationship still has a lot of work to do. And that this is not the first time, as you noted, that the U.S. has said something that India has believed to be unnecessary interference in its domestic affairs. And if you look at India's relationships with some of its other Western partners, like France, for example, these types of things don't come up.
Yes, it has come from the Germans and from the Americans. But the question is also that it is based on that assumption that the legal process here is not free and fair.
Right, and that's not for me to comment on. But you know, let me put it this way: the broader context is important here, in the sense that you know, India is a growing global power. It's going to become even more prominent and present in the world. And the more powerful and prominent you become in the world, the more you're going to attract attention, and the more likely that you're going to attract some criticism at times, including from friends. So I think that I would turn things back to India and say, well, is there really a need for India to respond to these types of comments? Couldn't something be gained simply by ignoring them? I put that out there, not to be too provocative. Okay. But as I would say, it would have been better for the U.S. not to make this type of comment. But it's inevitable. There's going to be more of them, and not just from the U.S. as well.
But what you say about perhaps they have to do a lot of work on their relationship is something that I would agree on then, Ashok Sajjanhar. Because, you know, for India to summon an envoy and talk about how this is unwarranted aspersions, all this should not have happened in the first place had that statement not come. I mean, why is there an assumption that the legal process being a foreign, followed here is an impartial one?
No, absolutely. You're very right, Maria. I don't think India or any other country gives the right to the United States, or for that matter, you know, Germany, that we were discussing, to monitor the situation, to monitor this case in India, meaning it doesn't have a locus standi. I am amazed at this language from the United States that we are going to monitor. Is the Indian democracy not strong enough? Is the Indian democracy not robust and vibrant enough that from the United States that they have to come and they have to start monitoring? I think it'll be doing themselves a lot of good if they were monitoring their own democracy. You look at the sort of situation that Mr. Trump has been put into. Here there is one chief minister. There you have, tens of cases against Mr. Trump. He's been indicted. What is happening? We don't comment on that. But here the point is, Maria, and the point that you made and was made earlier also, that if there is so much of work to do, then it is better for us not to expend our energies, better for us to focus on what we need to do to take the relationship forward. Why unnecessarily put these aspects into the relationship so that, both in terms you are spending time, you are spending effort, you are spending energy, as far as these issues are concerned, and they don't really matter as far as taking our relationship, whether it is defense or political or security or strategic or technology. There's so many things to be done. So focus on that.
What's interesting here is, Dr. Kartha, that before Mr. Kejriwal, there was another chief minister who had to resign and then he was arrested. That was the Jharkhand chief minister. Then you have several other politicians also who are facing the enforcement directorate. But this kind of statement coming only after the Delhi chief minister's arrest, where is this all coming from? Why raise it in the first place?
No, I am actually really puzzled as to why the U.S. has raised this at all. I mean, this is like exactly as you said. I mean, why bring it up in this case? Okay, I grant you this is the national capital, AAP is the challenger to the BJP and all the rest of it. But,
Dr. Kartha, look, Aam Aadmi Party, is it really a challenger? Well, that jury is still out and it's very, very clear that it's not. But the question is that Rahul Gandhi was also questioned by the Enforcement Directorate. Yeah. At that time, we did not see any statement come in from any of the countries. Why now?
No, what I meant in AAP is seen as the kind of, the liberal challenger. So what it is another matter. I mean, he's as much of a politician as anyone else. But the point I want to make, Maria, is that, as the German chancellor has been accused in a tax fraud in a case which has started in 2012. I mean, talk of delays. I mean, that thing has been going on for years. It's not something any of us will comment on. That's their business. It's a domestic issue. It's for the people of Germany to decide whether their chancellor is involved. It's a case involving trillions of euros, right? So that's going on. Here, the point is your sovereignty is not just physical. Most of us see sovereignty as being a physical entity, you know, territory and all the rest of it. The domestic, domestic affairs, non-intervention in domestic affairs is written into the UN Charter. It is part of the sovereignty of a country. You do not do this. And as the ambassador said, it is such a waste of diplomatic, you know, cards that you have. Why would you want to expend that in a case where there is, as just as it is going on in the US, you remember the Colorado court said Trump should not be indicted, blah, blah, blah. The Supreme Court overturned that. All that due process is going on here as well. So,
okay, Ambassador Sajjan, how does it actually work? Is India then going to explain to another country how the legal process in our country actually works? That Mr. Kejriwal skipped summons 9 times and then the enforcement directorate came knocking at his door? Is India going to explain the process of law?
No, absolutely not. I think it is not India's responsibility or duty to teach and educate the world as to what India's procedures are. I think the embassies in the country are meant for that. The embassy should here study what has happened and brief its foreign office accordingly so that they are able to take decisions which are well knowledgeable and founded on facts. So definitely it is not India's responsibility. However, you know, at times it does happen, Maria, that if it is, you know, not a public spat like this, it's not a public discourse like this. If in a certain meeting, you know, the two countries, they are discussing something, then definitely some sort of a discussion on this can take place as to how it had happened. But, you know, if another government has really not, doesn't know about it and is making these comments, it reflects very poorly on that government. That, you know, they are, that government is ignorant and they are sort of, you know, making these totally uncalled for and unwarranted comments.
Okay, then Michael, Maria, is this more of a, you know, standard response that these countries give? So, you know, a rather over-enthusiastic spokesperson just making a comment without realizing the larger diplomatic ramifications of it?
Well, that could be. And, you know, the context here in terms of how this comment came to be made is important. You know, this was not a case of a senior U.S. official deciding to go in front of cameras and make this policy pronouncement about the legal process for this political personality. You know, this was a case where the State Department spokesperson had received a query about the case, and the spokesperson then responded. So I think that that's important to keep in mind here. It's not like the U.S. government was making this concerted effort to come out with a statement about what's happening with Kejriwal. It was really a response. It was a reaction. Now, absolutely, I acknowledge that it might have been better for the spokesperson to respond by saying, well, the U.S. government doesn't comment on domestic issues in India. But again, I don't think we should overstate just how substantive and significant a comment this was. It was simply a brief response to a query from a journalist. But again, I think that this would be a lot better. This would have ended up a lot better if the comment had been made to start with. But again, it's a reality, and we will hear more comments like this. So that's why my point would be, we also need to look at what the best way is for New Delhi to respond. That's not my place to say, but isn't there some advantage gained by simply ignoring such comments, which I think could perhaps send a strong message as well? And I would make one more comment. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Okay, let me take a response on that. Ambassador Sajjanar, could India have not responded at all, as Michael is suggesting?
No, not at all, because, you know, then that will embolden some of the other countries who might be lurking in the wings that, you know, if the United States can do it, if Germany can do it, then we will also join the bandwagon. Not at all. I think this is a message that goes out not only to Germany, not only to the United States, but to the world in general, some of the other countries who might have strong liberal movements in their countries. And I think it also sends out a message, in my view, Maria, for future, that if there are some comments like this, the countries will sort of, you know,
be
sit
careful.
Back, reflect, and say that, you know, if India is going to, respond in such a strong manner, push back in such a robust manner, then it's not worth the while for them to be making such comment. Meaning there can be very many, you know, the manner in which the official spokesperson, he could have said this is an internal matter of the country and it's not our place, which it is really. Meaning surely they would understand, their embassy would have briefed them that it was after 9 summons and after the High Court decided not to provide a bail to Mr. Kejriwal, that he was arrested. So I think, very glibly saying that we expect and we hope that due processes will be followed, I think this doesn't do any credit
Kalka,
to
India
to
has
them.
Chosen to draw the line here, but how will this be seen diplomatically by, say, United States and Germany, the two countries which actually spoke about it?
Are you asking me?
Yes, Dr. Kartha.
Yeah. So I think I would absolutely back what Ambassador Sajjan has said. And I, honestly, though, I think Michael's point, the fact that it was not a formal, press briefing where the statement was made, that is there. But nonetheless, this was made and there is no other recourse than to respond to it. And the very strong response that we've given, I think, was entirely necessary because we are not at any point, given to taking such things from any country. And it's so unwarranted. You know, it is not as if we are a very noisy democracy. We make we are there, like in very upfront with all these things. But it is a fully functioning democracy in some ways, far more. And you've seen recently, Maria, those things which came out saying in the happiness index, putting us at the bottom below countries who have no governments. I mean, so there is a slant. Let's be very clear. There is a slant against India and saying that, you're not good enough for this XYZ. So this response was required. You had to, I think MEA has played it very well. They've been very upfront about it. Please don't tell us what to do. So there we go.
All right, Dr. Tara Kartha, Ashok Sajjanhar and Michael Kugelman, appreciate your time. Thank you so much. We are putting out the entire debate on ndtv.com. That's all from me. I'll be seeing you tomorrow. Thanks.